Tonight I've entitled my sermon, No Greater Friend, No Greater Friend. And of course I'm talking about the friend that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in that verse, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. But we read another place in the Bible, before we were friends of Christ, I mean he was our friend, but we weren't his friend, he laid down his life for us. And so I want to talk to you about friendship tonight. And here's what I want to do. I want to talk about friendship in the earthly realm, and then I want to take the truth of friendship in the earthly realm and apply it to the friendship that Jesus Christ showed toward us. You know, there's some wonderful examples of earthly friends in the Bible. I think Paul and Barnabas were good friends. Barnabas was the one, remember when Saul first got saved, and he tried to join up with the disciples. They didn't really want anything to do with him. I mean, this was the man that was persecuting Christians, killing Christians. And it was his friend Barnabas that brought the Apostle Paul. I mean, he probably still saw them, but the Apostle Paul to the disciples and introduced them and said, told them about the experience that Paul had on the road to Damascus and talked about how his conversion was genuine. He was the real thing. It was also Barnabas, when he was sent by the disciples to Antioch, because they'd heard reports of a lot of people getting saved there, they sent Barnabas up there to check it out and get a church started. Well, when he got there and found out what was going on, he went and got Paul, and they came back together and served in that church together. Of course, they went on their first missionary trip together, and as is sometimes the case, their friendship ended because they got into a little dispute about John Mark, about whether they should take John Mark with them on the second missionary journey. But God used it. Barnabas and John Mark went one direction, and Paul and Silas went another. But good friends, good friends. David and Jonathan were good friends. When David killed Goliath, and then Saul made him the head of the army, it was Jonathan who gave David his sword and his bow and his coat. It was Jonathan that told David of Saul's plan to kill him when he got jealous over the accolades that was coming to David as he led the army. And of course, David returned Jonathan's friendship when he showed favor to his son Mephibosheth after Jonathan was dead. And there are other friendships in the Bible that I won't take the time to mention tonight. But I would like you to, just for a little while tonight, to think about the friends that you have. And again, I'll direct your thoughts. I have six things I want to say tonight about friendship. And then again, I want to take those things and apply them to Jesus Christ, because we have no greater friend than him. We sing songs about it. We sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. We sing, I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his love can do, what his grace can do for you. We sing the song, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twined those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. And so, friends, the greatest friend we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have some friends in your life, close friends, friends that you hold dear. And so let me just mention six things about those friends. Number one, friendship is one of the few relationships that we get to choose. You see, we didn't get to choose our dads. We didn't get to choose our moms. We didn't get to choose our brothers or our sisters. We didn't get to choose our sons or our daughters. God made those choices for us, and because he did, they are all sacred relationships. But friends are chosen by us. I can be your friend if I choose to, and you can be my friend if you choose. And we can give each other the honor of friendship. And again, it is an honor. It is an honor to be chosen by somebody to be a friend. It's an honor that, again, if you count the number of friends that you have, it's an honor that not many people give to you. But it's a tremendous honor for you to be chosen by somebody for them to be your friend. Tonight I want to remind you, you were chosen by Jesus Christ to be his friend. And again, I'm going to say some things in just a second about how his friendship does not depend on our reciprocating. His friendship does not depend on us choosing him to be a friend. But he chose us to be a friend. Now just think about it. The one who spoke everything into existence. The one who has been on the scene for all eternity. The one that was there when creation unfolded. The one that was there when the oceans were created and the land masses and the heavens were filled and the earth was filled. The one that spoke all that into existence. The one the book of Colossians tells us today holds it all together. The Son of God, Almighty God himself, chose you to be his friend. I'll just think about that for a minute. Just think about that for a minute. I count it an honor when somebody chooses me as a friend. What an honor and privilege and a blessing indescribable that Jesus Christ has chosen you and has chosen me to be a friend. To be a friend. The Bible says, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, I don't believe Jesus Christ says, I choose you and I choose you, and but you I don't choose, and you I don't choose, and you I don't choose. Jesus Christ chose every single person to be a friend. Greater love than hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friend. I want to remind you tonight that Jesus Christ laid down his life for every single person. There are probably literally millions of people in hell tonight that have rejected Christ. They rejected the cross. They rejected the price that Jesus paid on the cross. But Jesus still died for them. The blood that he shed was shed for them. The body that was broken for them. He was a friend and wanted to be a friend to every single person because he didn't want anybody to perish. And what an unspeakable blessing it is to be chosen by God to be God's friend. It's one of the relationships that we get to choose, and Jesus chose us to be his friend. It can be a completely unselfish relationship. And this is what I was referring to earlier. Jesus didn't say, well, I'll be your friend if you be my friend. I'll extend my friendship to you if you'll reciprocate and return that friendship to me. No, he did not make it conditional. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we're only friends to friends. I mean, sometimes it's hard for us to be friends with somebody that doesn't like us. Sometimes it's hard for us to be friends with people that might say unkind things about us. Sometimes it might be hard for us to be friends with people that disrespect us. And do other things, again, that are unkind. But again, there are people that in spite of those things still hold that other person as a friend. I want to remind you tonight that Jesus' friendship with us was not dependent on our behavior, was not dependent on us reciprocating, was not dependent on how we treated him, because we were still sinners when he died for us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so his friendship came with no preconditions. His friendship was true friendship. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. And I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter how you're living your life. Doesn't even matter if you're saved or not tonight. I want you to know that you have a friend in Jesus Christ, and he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Number three, friendship is one of the relationships that can never change. Now, sometimes it does change, But it's one of the relationships that can never change. Many of the other relationships we have in life change. We have children, and we have a relationship with them. But then they grow up. They get a mind of their own. And our, and our relationship changes. They move out. They get married. And our relationship changes. Our relationship with our parents change over time. I mean, when we were little, we needed them. When they get older, sometimes they need us. And our relationship changes. Our relationship sometimes with our brothers and sisters change. They move away. They get married. They move away. They move to distant places. Kelly talked about her brother. Hadn't seen him since Christmas. I know she loves her brother. She's a friend with her brother. But things change because of other things that are happening in our life. But the friend relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is an eternal relationship that will never change. Never change. Stop and think about it. When we get to heaven, he will be just as much our friend as he is today. When we get to heaven and walk the street of gold and get to come into his presence, the relationship that we have with him will be, and you might say, well, it'll be greater, Brother Darrell, because we'll be in his presence. But his friendship will not be any stronger. He is a friend to you today just as much as he will be when he walks the street of heaven with us. It's a relationship that can never change. Number four, and I sort of referred to this with number two, but I want to come back and say something else about it. The friend relationship is one that need not the acceptance of another. It need not the acceptance of another. See, when you have a relationship with your spouse, that relationship was formed on the basis of the other person accepting something. When Brother Clyde finally got enough courage to propose to Frida, no, I'm sorry, when Frida got enough courage, I'm getting signals back there, Frida. Well, regardless, whoever proposed to each other over there, only the Lord knows, I guess. But their relationship as husband and wife only happened when they accepted each other. I sort of think it was Brother Clyde that proposed. Frida could have had her pick. I still don't know why she picked him, but she did. See, I'm loving you tonight, Brother Clyde. He told me a couple weeks ago, Brother Jim, that he didn't think I loved him anymore because I quit picking on him. And so I've tried to pick on him every time now I get a chance. Lots of love. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I think it was Brother Clyde that proposed. But Frida didn't become Mrs. Vaughn until she accepted that proposal. Okay? Now, Jesus is our friend whether we accept his friendship or not. He is still our friend. He still died for every single person. He paid the price for the sin of every single person. He doesn't depend on us accepting his friendship. He is our friend. He is your friend. He is my friend, regardless of whether we accept it or not. Number five, and I like this one. When you get a new friend, you don't have to give up an old one. When you get a new friend, you don't have to give up an old one. You can just add another one to your list of friends. Our relationship as friends is not like our relationship as husband and wife. You ought only to have one husband and one wife at a time. Amen? If you can't say amen to that, we're going to send you to Andy and Carol's Sunday school class. But you only have one husband and one wife at a time. But I can have more than one friend. I can have two. I can have three. I can have many, many friends at the same time. I'm glad that Jesus Christ didn't only have to have one friend. Because I'm sure there's a lot more people deserving of his friendship than me. I'm glad he could have literally millions and millions and millions of friends. And I'm glad he chose me to be one. And then number six, a friend may be chosen at any time in life. Ever stop and think about that? You're never too old to add a friend. Never too old to add a friend. Some of you know that Adam and I are helping Tracy out. She works for a hospice company, and she has some folks that sometimes she needs a chaplain to go see, and so we've signed up to sort of help her. And so I went on my first visit the other day to a lady that has cancer and is dying. She's sort of trapped in the upstairs of her house because she doesn't have the strength to come down. And so I went over to visit her the other day, and her daughter came to the door and said, "My mom is just really, really bad today, and we've had to give her a lot of morphine. And so even if you went up to visit with her, she wouldn't be very responsive. But she said, could you visit with me for a while?" She has two sisters, but her two sisters don't have much to do with her mom. She has a son who works and provides some of the living for the household. She has a 16-year-old daughter who is single, pregnant, expecting at the end of April. And all these things are just crashing down on her. And she said, "I know you didn't come to see me, but could you just sit and talk with me for a while?" And I did. Spent an hour with Dee Dee, that was her name. Sweet, sweet lady. A Christian, but hasn't been in church for a while. And of course, I got on her about that. I said, "Dee Dee, you know, you need the Lord more right now than probably any time in your life." And her mom was very active in church. I said, I just sort of guessed there's a lot of ladies in your mom's church that would be willing to come over and sit with her on Sunday morning if you told them that you needed to go to church. And we sat and we talked, and I reminded her of some of the promises in the Word of God, how God never puts more on us than He gives us the ability to handle with the Holy Spirit's help. I reminded her that God knew everything that was going on in her life, all the things that she is challenged by right now. And there's some things that she's worried about when her mom dies, how she's going to make it. And I don't have time, and I can't go into all the things that we talked about. But I got up to go, and I said, "I'd like to have prayer with you." And she said, "Oh, I'd love for you to have prayer with me." And so I held her hands, and we had prayer, and she says, "Thank you for being a friend." I haven't had many the past few months, but thank you for being a friend. I'll be 64 years old in a few days. You're never too old to add a friend. Never too old. Now, Jesus chose you as a friend before you were born. He knew you were going to be born. He already had it in his mind that he was going to choose you to be a friend. But here's the point of the sixth point in my sermon tonight. It's never too old for you to choose to be his friend. You choose to be his friend by accepting what he did on Calvary for you. You choose to be his friend, as we read from that verse a minute ago, when you choose to keep his commandments. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you can choose tonight to be his friend. His friend. If you're here and you've never received Christ, would you do that? He chose you before you were born. He's been your friend all your life. He died proving his friendship. Why not be his friend? If you're a Christian tonight, you're his friend. You receive Christ. But he says, "You're my friends if you do what I command you, if you live the kind of life I want you to live." We need to be his friend. Because that's the way his brother Dan was talking earlier in his testimony. That's that living the life that God intends for us to live is how we reach people. It's how we won't be very much witness to people that are lost unless we're living the kind of life that's pleasing to God. Let's be his friend. Let's keep his commandments. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for friends. Thank you for the friends that we have on this earth. We count them dear. We count it a privilege and an honor to be called their friends. But what a blessing it is to be chosen as a friend by your Son, Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be counted as one of his friends. Help us to return that friendship. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here tonight that's never received Jesus as their Savior, that they would see their sin, they would see the price, the penalty that's connected with that sin, separation from you. They would see that Jesus paid that price when he went to Calvary. And tonight, they would receive him. They would receive him. I pray, Father, that you would, and Holy Spirit, you would just convict them. And that they would pray and ask Jesus to save them. And in a second, when we have an invitation, if they do that, or if they need help in doing it, they'd come and we could rejoice with them that they've done it, or we could help them do it. And then I pray for the many Christians tonight. Help us to live our life in such a way that you would call us your friend because we're obedient to your commandments. Just bless this time of invitation. Ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.